Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan surprised the gallery this week when he took the stand at his own corruption trial. Let's get more on the status of the case with Chicago Sun-Times federal courts reporter John Seidel. John, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Glad to do it.
Tell us what he was like on the stand this week.
Let me start by just saying, like, so far, this has been the easy part for Michael Madigan, right? He has mostly spent his time taking questions from his own defense attorney. He also took some questions from attorney for his co-defendant as well. But, you know, he's come across, as kind of disarming, friendly, kind of like a grandpa from the southwest side of Chicago, just kind of joking with the jury and telling them about his own story, his youth growing up in Chicago and how he got his start in politics. But, you know, eventually he did move into explaining his side of the story with a lot of this stuff. But again, I want to stress, like, I think when things, you know, the dynamics are going to get really interesting next week when we expect him to be cross-examined by prosecutors.
Do you think this helps his defense at all at this point that jurors were able to see this side of him?
I do. I mean, how it's going to pay off in the long run, I'm not sure. But they now have some alternative narratives to counter what we've been hearing from the government for years and what the jury has been hearing for months now through, like, some 50 witnesses. I mean, he's given explanations for how he interacted with Danny Solis, the former Chicago alderman who wore a wire for the FBI. He insisted yesterday, for example, that he was trying to tell Solis that he would not be part of a quid pro quo, that he was concerned and surprised when Danny Solis actually dropped the phrase quid pro quo into a conversation that was being recorded by the FBI. And another part of this case, you might be familiar, the government says that Michael McClain, Madigan's longtime ally, was basically going around being Madigan's agent at the state capitol. But Madigan testified yesterday that McClain was not accurately representing Madigan's mindset. He didn't instruct McClain to say some of these things that he said. And I think as far as the defense goes, it's important for jurors to hear that from Madigan. This is the best way for the defense to get that across.
This trial has lasted 3 months. It sounds like it's lasted longer than anyone expected. Do you feel that the prosecution has presented a convincing case considering how complicated the charges are?
I think they presented a convincing case, but you're right about the complications. You know, there have been a lot of corruption trials in Chicago in the last few years, most of them stemming from this same investigation. But this is the longest one. This is the most complicated. It was supposed to wrap in mid-December, so yes, it has gone on longer than expected. And at some point, a case does get too complicated for a jury. I'm not sure if that has happened here yet. We're going to have to wait and see. I think what I point to is that this is the same prosecution team that has mostly secured convictions over the last 2 years. So they seem to know what they're doing. But you're right, there's a danger here that this just gets to be too much. And how are these jurors going to remember? You know, earlier this week, we heard defense testimony that seemed to harken back to testimony that was given in October. And we're expecting jurors to remember what happened in October. There's a real question there.
We're speaking with John Seidel. He is a federal courts reporter with the Chicago Sun-Times. Out of all of that evidence for you, you know, what stuck out to you as maybe the most damning evidence that prosecutors might have against Madigan?
You know, one of the things that stick out to me is maybe just the most simplest thing is a deal or a conversation that Michael Madigan had with Danny Solis about Madigan's son, Andrew, who is not individually accused of doing anything wrong. I want to be clear. But there was this conversation, I believe it was in 2018, when Danny Solis was asking Madigan for help getting a paid seat on a government board. And I think Solis said something about, and I'll continue to help. And Madigan initially said, don't worry about it. But then he said, there is one thing you can do. And he explained how his son, Andrew, who was in the insurance business, was trying to get a meeting with a nonprofit just to try and get some business. So Solis agreed to help Andrew Madigan get that meeting with the nonprofit. And eventually, it took a few years, but eventually Andrew Madigan made $43,000 on that deal. Again, they're not saying Andrew Madigan did anything wrong, but what you see is this one meeting where Solis is talking about the state board seat. Madigan says there is one thing you can do, and eventually out of that conversation, Madigan's son gets this money. So I think that's one very clear, simple thing that prosecutors can point to where there might be a corrupt deal. And Madigan testified about that, I should say, this week, and he said that in his mind, he was not connecting the conversation about his son to the state board seat, but it'll be up to the jury.
What are you expecting to happen next? What kind of witnesses could we see brought by the defense? You know, how will they try to poke holes in the prosecutor's case?
Well, they're trying to poke holes by offering these alternative narratives, mostly through Madigan's testimony. I'm not sure who else they're going to bring. They have acknowledged that they might call more witnesses when Madigan is done. Right now, what we're watching for is, of course, what the prosecution is going to do with cross-examination. I should note that the judge ruled yesterday that Madigan's testimony has opened the door to evidence that had been previously barred, including a recording in which Madigan allegedly jokes about ComEd contractors making out like bandits. Defense attorneys have adamantly opposed the introduction of this recording, but apparently it's coming in. I think the feds are watching Madigan's testimony to think about what witnesses they might bring in a rebuttal case. I think they want to talk to the jury about Madigan's knowledge of bribery laws. But as far as individual names, it's hard to say. And we talked about the length of this trial. It's been a hard one to predict. So I think we have to just stay tuned and see what happens next.
John, you mentioned Michael Madigan's nature on the stand as he testified, and it made me think it's been decades since I covered him in the legislature, but that's kind of always how he was. He's not a young man at this point. How does he appear to be holding up through this trial?
You know, for an 82-year-old man who described himself as a young 82, I think he's doing okay. He's there. He's with it. It's remarkable to watch some of these videos. We've seen videos even going back to 2014. You can see how much he's aged when you see some of these video recordings versus how he looks now. He's older and grayer. I mean, it's been 10 years or 11. But, you know, he seems sharp. He seems to be following along. I think he's engaged and participating in his defense. So, you know, and we've seen plenty of smiles and laughter from him along the way. So I think he's doing okay so far.
So again, you know, what can we expect? Are you given any timeline for when things might wrap up in this case?
Yes, although we've been given many timelines before. The latest is that there was an estimate given that they expect the case to go to the jury by January 27th. But even after that prediction was made, Judge Blakey seemed to cast some doubt on it. My latest prediction myself, and we've been wrong about this before, I'm expecting to be writing a story about this verdict in February. Hopefully it's sooner, but it just seems like this is going to push, you know, into possibly the next month. And part of that is because, for example, today the courthouse is closed for in honor of Jimmy Carter. You know, I mean, there have been these little delays that have popped up. We've got Martin Luther King Day coming. Things like that. So I'm expecting maybe early February.
John, we'll continue to follow your coverage. Thank you for joining us this morning on KMOX.
Glad to do it. Thank you.
That is John Seidel, federal courts reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times, joining us to talk about the federal case against Michael Madigan, of course, charged in a 23-count indictment for crimes including bribery, racketeering, and wire fraud. Coming